Today I want to tell you a story. And the story comes, you can read it later, from the 10th chapter of Acts. It's a story about a fellow by the name of Cornelius and another fellow by the name of Simon Peter, and how God was working in both of their lives at the same time. Many of you remember this story because we preached on it about 6 months ago. But here's Cornelius, who is what is called a God-fearer. He's seeking the Lord. And he lives in the city of Caesarea. And God's working in his life. And he's moving. And the Lord speaks to him. And the Lord says to him, I want you to send a couple of messengers to the town of Joppa, because there at Joppa is a fellow by the name of Peter, Simon Peter, and he's got a message for you. All right? Caesarea. Let's move to Joppa. In Joppa, there is Peter, and he is at the home of Simon the Tanner, and he has gone up on the roof at the sixth hour of the day, noon, and he's praying. And God speaks to him. And three times this big sheet comes down with all of these animals on it that he would call unclean from his religious background. Say, and the message comes from the Lord: arise, Peter, kill and eat. And each time he fights with the Lord about it. Now, back to Caesarea for just a moment with Cornelius. Cornelius is a Gentile, he's in Caesarea. In Joppa is Peter, who is a Jew, who has received Jesus in his life. And God is speaking to both of them. In his great wisdom, he's about to bring them together. So these guys embark on this journey. They show up at the house where Peter is, and Peter is just coming down off of the roof. He's been in prayer, and God has been preparing him for these Gentiles, because these Gentiles would have been people that he wouldn't have anything to do with. In fact, there were some Jewish Christians who would not preach the gospel to Gentiles. They meet. God has spoken to both of them. To make a long story short, they then get up the next day, and these messengers take Simon Peter back to Cornelius' house. And by that time, Cornelius has a big group of people who are there ready to hear the gospel. And they are welcomed in. And Peter walks in, he says, you know, I don't understand. I'm putting it in South Georgia English here. I don't understand all of this. In fact, like Doug Dorman says, I don't understand all I know about this. But I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. And he goes in and preaches the gospel. And these people are primed. They are ready. They're ready to hear from the Lord. And the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and the Lord gives evidence of the Spirit of God coming upon them, because they speak in tongues. I mean, it's a tremendous experience, and the Lord was priming the pump to see that the gospel wasn't just for Jews, but the gospel was going to go to the whole world. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think it was important that Peter was listening to the Lord in Joppa And Cornelius was listening to the Lord in Caesarea. Do you think so? All right. Now, hold on to that story. Let me tell you another one. Back in December of last year, we got some news that we didn't particularly like. And when I say we as a church leadership here, the school let us know that our rent in this building was about to double. Now, what would happen if the rent doubled at your place? Can I get a witness from anybody on that, huh? Can you, would that affect things? Okay, well, it did for us. It sent us to praying. So Dane set up a meeting. We and talked with the principal here. And anyway, long story short, about how that came about. We had been under a different plan of the way they figured our use in the building, and they were about to sharpen the pencil as to how we use the building. We said, is there anything you can do? I said, well, we can talk to the board about it. So they kicked it on up to the Savannah School Board. Well, 2 months went by. Fast forward to about 2 months ago. We get a call back from them, and they said, well, we can't change the deal that the rent's going up, but you won't have to start paying it till July. Now, a little bit of good news with a lot of bad news in the middle of that. So we batted that around and said, well, you know, different things we thought about, getting some advocates at the school board to help us out. People in the system that might could help us. Coming back here and trying to renegotiate things. You know, use less space. Not an option. Because we're getting more people. You don't want to be using less space in the middle of that. But the Lord wouldn't give us, we had no peace about any of those options. So we prayed. You know, that's what you do when you have no peace. When you have no peace, that means you hadn't finished praying about it. So we went to him and we prayed. Said, Lord, we need to hear from you. We need to hear from you. About 5 or 6 days later, I got a call. Just out of the blue, old friend of mine who is the acting director of missions for the Association of Baptist Churches in this area called me. He said, there's a church that would like to talk to you guys. I said, they would. I said, yeah, they're getting ready to kind of shut things down, and they'd like to talk to somebody about their buildings. But okay, I'm thinking, well, they want to sell them, and you know, we've been approached several times by people that have buildings, and I said, okay, we'll talk. It doesn't cost anything to talk, so. I said, set it up. Well, before, you know, he could really do anything about it, the pastor at that church called me 2 days later. And remember where we are? The week before we'd been praying. God speak. Show us. And now we're 7 or 8 days into it, and I'm sitting down with this guy. Well, the upshot of all of that is that that's been about 2 months ago.
we had several meetings with him, and then got some other people in our church into meetings with the group that is left there at this church. And what they want to do is to give us their buildings. Let me use the verb again. They want to give us their buildings. So what do you say about that? All right. That's quite a humbling thing to hear from somebody. And we've asked them several times, now, is this really what you mean? You know, do you really mean this? So I want to take you on a little journey right now. John, if you'll shoot this up here for me. This is not the building they want to give us. This is where on February the 7th, 1993, we started and had our first meeting. That's our house in Winds Forest, where we used to live. Next picture. We didn't get a picture of Kenny's house and John's house and the other houses that we met at in between time, but this is the Baptist Student Union building that we held our first public worship in, large group worship. As you know, we believe that the church is both a large group wing of the church and a small group wing. It's both and. It's not either or. Next one, John. We outgrew that building, and so we went to Georgetown Elementary School. Moved in there on December 5th, 1995. I don't know how many churches had met in buildings owned by the school board in Savannah, Chatham, but it had probably been a long time since one had, and God opened the way. I won't tell you the story now of how we even got into using school buildings, but it was a Red Sea parting event for it to happen. Go to the next one. We got hooked up with Doug Dorman because we were hooked up with the Windsor Forest Baptist Church, and they're the ones who helped us get launched. And Doug moved here, came on staff, but he went and planted a church, the Rivers Church, out on Wilmington Island. And this is their first public meeting place. A storefront there on Johnny Mercer. Go to the next one. And then they moved to the Coastal Middle School, where they met for several years. Go on to the next one. In the process of all this, God began to prick our hearts about other parts of the city. And so for about, I don't know how many months, we had a worship service at the Robert McIntyre Methodist Church building. Some of y'all remember that. We did that for a while. Okay, John? Well, then we sent out a group that went down to Richmond Hill. And we already had life groups down there. And we opened up at the Life Moves Dance Studio, where we met for several years. Next one, John. Within a week or so, and I don't remember which one was first. Dane, do you? Midtown. Okay, so we opened this up. We came here first. This is a picture of this building that opened up for us, and we had the Sycamore at Midtown. All right, next building. Well, then for a while, probably, I don't know how many months, we were out on the west side, 6 months, out at the Pooler Y on Saturday nights. Did that out there for a while. Next picture. And then we went to Rincon. And this is the first YMCA United Way building where we met out there. Next building. And then we moved over, Brother Larry and our crew moved over to the YMCA, the brand new YMCA there right outside of Rincon. Okay, John? Now, as we went to all these places, we also used other places for worship services. We used the Windsor Forest Baptist Church facility. We use South Gardens Baptist facility. We use Savannah Tech. Now, over to the left there is a lot of new construction. Go on, John. We also used Hull Park several times. In fact, Midtown several times had Easter services out there. We used our office out in Georgetown. Going to the next one. And how many Christmas Eve services did we have out here on this? And several of them, and we even had a wedding out there, didn't we? Under a tent in the rain out there. Just a wonderful time, okay? And today we are here. We are here. You know, we've been all these places, and God's allowed us to touch communities and in places. And I look at all of you, and I see people that are scattered all over several counties that come here because you believe God has brought you together as a body of Christ. And it's a beautiful thing. Next picture, John. And here's a picture of the one of the buildings that has been offered to us. Tabernacle Baptist Church buildings on 52nd Street. It's four buildings on about 4 acres of property. Front building, the auditorium's about 4,700 square feet. Has a fellowship hall kind of building, about 3,000 square feet behind that. And open air, 1,000 square foot barbecue area, picnic area behind that. And a parsonage next door. And a parsonage next door. It's kind of like a partridge in a pear tree. Another building next door. Do y'all know what a parsonage is? That's where the parson lives back in the old days. All right. Now, go on to the next slide, John. I want you to see, as the crow flies, about where spot A is where we're meeting now. Spot B is where Tabernacle is, that building. B. A and B. Can you see that? You got it? A and B. Okay. You are here. Okay. All right. Now, go on to the next slide, John. All right. Next one. Y'all recognize any of these places? Next one. Next one. Next one. Oh, let's stop there. Now, the first group of slides I showed you is where we had public large group meeting places. Second group of slides is just a few of the places where our life groups have met. We could also put the mall, both Savannah and Oglethorpe Mall there. We could have put some oak trees around where people have had meetings where they gathered as a small group body. Now, this third group of slides is where we as a church have been 24/7. This is down at Baptist Center. Or, no, that's at Cam. All right. This is at the beach. We gathered for worship and evangelism, baptism down there. I hadn't seen these, so I don't know what John's put in here. This is a life group meeting. John. When Tammy graduated, the church being the church, the body. Where was this? Was it here? Christmas time? Okay. Our Christmas program? No. Wait a second. You trust a man to do something, and you get it in the back. All right. And this is at the Bonifacio compound out there. When the Ibergs came to visit us. All right. And there's Leroy. He's talking while he's supposed to be a shepherd in our live nativity scene. I hope he was saying something in Hebrew at that point. All right. Baseball camp. Renewal of vows. You know, I thought with that renewal came three more children. Is that... Okay, no. All right. All right. That's it. All right. I showed you those pictures and told you that story initially, that Bible story, because first of all, I wanted you to see, and listen closely, God is up to doing things that we can't even imagine. When we're praying about something over here, there's a real good possibility that God has already sent the answer from over here. Do you understand me? All right. What does this mean? Well, let me tell you some things this does not mean. First thing this does not mean is that we, if we receive this gift from Tabernacle of these buildings and this property, it does not mean that we suddenly become a real church. The church, for 300 years at the beginning of its existence, had no buildings that they could call a church building. And let's just get it straight. Anytime you call a building a church, That's a mild form of heresy, because that's biblically incorrect. A building can never be the church. A building is a building. Is a building is a building. We have been real church. The body of Jesus, the hands and feet of Jesus. What this also does not mean, it does not mean that we will become a program-based church. Oh, that's great. We get some buildings, we can start all these programs. No. No. No, programs are not the life of the church. It's the people, the body, scattered in all the communities where we are, in our life groups and all that we do. It also does not mean that we become like every other church around. God has a unique plan for every body that He puts together, and He has been operating that plan through us, through these years that we have been together. Our core value of who we are as the body of Jesus. And one of the great things that has been core to us is that you could shut down our public meeting place today and we'd keep right on going. And let me tell you, there are some people in our country that today that would like to shut down the voice of this public forum that we have today and would like to limit the freedom from a pulpit. Well, if that happens, what's God going to do? Well, He's going to do what He's doing in China, what He's doing in North Korea, what He's doing in other places around the globe today. The gospel is going forth. They have to go underground. It also does not mean that we become bound to a building. Yeah. What so often happens with a building is then the building determines who you are. Are you hearing me? That can't happen. All we need is a roof. And some days we don't need that. You know, changing it to look and to be what is needed. That fits the expression that God has put in our hearts. Now, initially, if we go over there, there going to be need to be some changes in the buildings. A lot of TLC needed. What it also does not mean is that we can't develop what Bill Beckham called an edifice complex. Look it up later on. Where the building defined it. It also does not mean, hear me on this, that the next place, though, if all this goes through, we will own it, that it becomes a destination. No, no, no. It is the next place that God has given us. I showed you those pictures up there because I wanted you to see all the places God has given us. And that's not all of them. All the places that he put out there for us to use. Now, we'll say if we have use of a group of buildings like this, it's going to be time for us to give back to the community some of the blessing that we have received from others. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. That's right. Now, What does it mean? Tell you what it doesn't mean. What does it mean? It means that for us, we will not be the victim of an arbitrary process of control as to when you can use a building and when you can't. That's it. Now, and that's not a diss on anybody or anything. I praise the Lord that a superintendent of the Savannah schools listened. He didn't know it was the voice of Jesus years ago, and the doors opened and the Red Sea parted, and not only our church, that many churches now have been able to use school buildings all over this county. I thank the Lord for that, and I praise Him for that. What this also means is that we will become more flexible, not less. Do you hear me? This gives us more flexibility. It doesn't stop anything. It adds to flexibility. You hearing this? All right. What I believe it also means is that God must have thought that we were mature enough in what I believe is His view of the church that we could handle this gift. Did you hear me? You know what one of my fears has been as your pastor? Is we get in a building and we die. And we become like everything else. God wants us to be alive in Him. This also means, I've already alluded to this, that to whom much is given, much is expected. You know, we won't own the building. We'll just receive it as a gift to be a steward of for this period of time. Let me tell you what Brother Bob Tice, who's been pastor at Tabernacle Baptist Church for 19 years, said to me and humbled me and made me cry. He said, Dusty, and I've known Bob since I was a pup. And he's 82 years old. He said, Dust, we don't own these buildings. These belong to God. He said, and we've been praying for months. Remember that story? Praying over here in Caesarea. And we've been praying in Joppa. And God brought us together. He said, we just want to be a good steward of what God has put in our hand. So when we transact this and they give us these buildings, you know, we're just being obedient to what the Holy Spirit has put on somebody else's heart and put on our heart. Are you following me? Are you with me? This will also mean that God is going to expand opportunities for ministry. Are you ready? Are you ready? Now, one final thing. The Lord put this on my heart, and I'd be a disobedient if I didn't say this to you. You know, I've shared with you many times that we believe in a two-wing church. There's a there's a public, you know, Acts 20:20. In fact, we're talking about 2020 vision. Talks about the church meeting publicly and house to house. That's a biblical model. Publicly and house to house. It's not either or. In America, the church has zeroed in on, in many cases, just the public meeting place. And in the public meeting place, people go to a building on a special day of the week, Sunday, and someone, a preacher, priest, or pastor, does something to them, teaching, preaching, absolution, healing, or for them, a ritual or some sort of entertainment for price, offerings. But is that God's view of the church? The church is not a building. The church is not a meeting. The church is not an organization. The church is not a club. What is the church? The church is the people of God. The people for whom Jesus died on the cross. The people that he possesses with his Holy Spirit and baptizes. The church is an organism. It is alive. It is relational. The church is a body that has many parts. The church is a flock under our shepherd, the Lord Jesus. It is a community of faith where we live out the life of Christ. The church is a family. It's our family that we're going to spend forever with. It is a fellowship. And boy, we get together, you can just hear the buzz of that gathering, both here in our life groups or anytime we come together. In fact, it's wonderful to see us having church out at Walmart, at the mall, at the ball field, at the grocery store, to see the body coming together. One day, I went to Walmart for a 15-minute visit. 3 hours later, in several prayer meetings, I came out of Walmart. I'd prayed for somebody's marriage. I'd prayed for healing. I think we'd shared the gospel with somebody there at Walmart. Remember the old saying, every trip to Walmart ain't to get stuff? It's the church being the church, the body of Jesus. And finally, the church is the bride of Christ on this earth. We are his bride. He is the bridegroom. And we need to look like his bride. Now, I want you to be praying over this. This week, this gift has been given to us. It's a tremendous responsibility. But it's very humbling to see what God is doing. This in no way detracts from the vision that God has given this body, but instead multiplies it. Multiplies it. In fact, we're really going to have to look at what we put even on the sign out there. We're at least going to have meeting place of the Sycamore Church. You know, you can't just put this is the church, because it isn't. It's the meeting place. Are you following me? I've talked to a number of you about this, and the overarching theme is, first of all, people are just humbled by the power of God. And the first question is this: It's not going to change who we are, is it? No. It's going to enhance and give us greater opportunity to fulfill who we are. Because who knows all the other places God may want to open up to us on this next step of the journey. Let's bow our heads. I've shared this with you today so you can pray. So you can pray for God's power and His presence. So you can ask the Lord, okay, Lord, what are you calling me to do in the midst of this? I know there are many of you, we're asking, when will we make the move? When we'll go over there? Well, we're trying to work all that out right now. But it's going to require all of us together as a body. I ask you to pray, to allow God to speak to you at this time. Because our whole theme of our lives needs to be about knowing Jesus Christ and making Him known. And the only reason why we would even consider having buildings is that it would mean we could do that, to know Him and make Him known. I want you to pray. Ask God, Lord, how can you use me in all of this? To see Savannah, Georgia come to Jesus. To see Chatham County come to Jesus. To see Bryan County come to Jesus. To see Effingham County come to Jesus. Lord, how are you willing to use me? Show me. Lord, I want to thank you. First of all, today, for your Son Jesus, who is the reason for all that we do. I thank you for speaking to us, for moving in us, for answering our prayers. Lord, I want to thank you for the Tabernacle Baptist Church, this body of people who have prayed, who have gone to the Lord, and have allowed the Holy Spirit to lead them. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for them. And I thank you for their pastor, Brother Bob. And I pray your blessing on them today. Lord, I thank you for answering our prayers. Lord, what a blessing to have dropped in your lap. Lord, I pray that we'll be obedient all the way through. At every single decision that we make, we'll be obedient to you. I bless you. Lord, I pray that we could, as a body, lift people up so that they could see Jesus. Lord, thank you today. Now we open the altar today. Maybe some of you would just like to come and pray. Come and bring this before the Lord as His body today. The altar is open. Come. Let's seek His face. You for answers to prayer. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that today as we lift up the name of Jesus, the one who saves us, the one who works in our lives, the one who died in our place on the cross, who has given us His Spirit. Lord, I thank you that you hear our prayer and that you answer and that you come to us. I bless you today. God, I'm asking you today that you'll move in our hearts. Lord, for us to be the people of God you have called us to be. As we're on this journey, Lord, just as surely, Lord, it hasn't been lost on me that the name of that body is the tabernacle, which was a temporary place that you used in the wilderness, Lord, as you are leading us, as you are journeying us through this life. This is not our home. And I ask you, God, that you would show to us your will and purpose, that you would work in us, Lord, that we could be the people of God in Savannah and in all the areas round about. I praise you and I give you honor today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.